The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Want the real story behind the sound bites and headlines? Let's find the facts. Remember, it's not a conspiracy theory if it's the truth. You are not paranoid or confused. You just need to know.
Welcome in, everybody. It is time for another edition of Need to Know. And I'm really excited about being with you today for a lot of reasons. Of course, I think there is a massive amount of things you need to know, but I really have had a major revelation in the last 24 hours or so. I think perhaps the messaging today is going to really clarify a lot of what's going on right now in our country. I think most people that are observing it are probably appalled, as I am, at the violence and the hatred being spewed on our campuses by our young people. It is being completely enhanced and magnified by the presence of professional agitators, people whose job it is that work in these different kind of, and I don't even know how to describe it. I know who funds it. I don't know how the organization or the deployment of these people works, but there is no question, because there's no resistance from the other side to deny it. And also the arrests of certain individuals with rap sheets as long as your arm indicate that these are professionals that are sent in, dispatched to any hotspot to stir up tensions and animosities and really ratchet up these, what should be, the campus protests and young people questioning things, which is certainly not against the nature of things that should be. It has been a long held practice that the younger generations, as they come up to adulthood, certainly need to ask questions and have an understanding of how we've arrived. And the problem with that is there's not a black and white ABC 1-2-3 explanation as to a lot of the complexities in the world that they're about to inherit. So some definite discomfort and inquisitiveness from young people is certainly a natural order of things. The problem is this generation of young people is probably the ultimate payoff. And we've had this going on for a long time. During the Jimmy Carter administration in 1978. They managed to get approval and the establishment of the Federal Department of Education. And this has been a terrible, terrible thing that has now infected our country, because the Department of Education is a organization, a bureau, a department that immediately transcended what was a perfect setup in our country, which was education on a local level, on a state level, on a county level, where the emphasis was put on the education of our children by the people that our children coexisted with. Now, the federal government, in one of many steps that were taken in that era, became involved in making decisions on policy and curriculum and other important factors that affected the education of our children. And a major one was the formation of and the partnership with the Department of Education with radical teachers unions, whose concern is not the welfare and the education of students. It's the welfare of the teachers themselves and the extension of not only their power base to demand on what can be taught and how it will be taught, but also the focus of the teachers union is not 100% on the students. It's 100% on the teachers themselves, their needs, their requirements, their, you know, whatever it takes to make them functional and satisfied with their profession, and put them in a very powerful position where they actually, the teachers unions, the most radical teachers union, Randy Weingarten is the executive director, who is probably as left wing or radical as possibly can be imagined. And it was a dark day for our country when that began, because now all of a sudden the natural inquisitiveness and development of young people as they grow into adulthood has been tremendously altered, because the curriculum and what they're taught and how they're taught is now pretty much dictated by people that are in a position of not being on board with all of our founding principles, with totally disagreeing with many aspects of our Constitution, which has been the backbone and lifeblood of our representative republic for almost 250 years. And they have had an entire 50 years now to begin indoctrinating students to their line of thinking. And the immediate results was a generation of Ivy League educated that moved on from basic middle school and high school education into environments where colleges taking money in huge sums for their quote endowments, which is tax free, by the way, that became influence with just hordes and loads of cash being infused into these elite college programs that gradually changed the atmosphere of the learning environment on these what's considered best schools in the country for the best and the brightest. And these kids already, I'm trying to think the right word, infused with a negative perception of their country that it's racist, it's misogynist, it's anti any kind of minority group, and it's a rigged system for only certain people to succeed. That foundation has now been not only continued but absolutely put on steroid growth with the infusion of a lot of money and a lot of influence from our geopolitical enemies, from China, from the Middle East, from all kinds of radical globalist movements, like my favorite bunch that gathers in Davos, Switzerland every year and moans and groans about the old world, basically not having a totalitarian rule. They're better, they're smarter, they're brighter than all of you and me. They are the ones who should be put in positions like the monarchs of the past, like the totalitarian governments of the past. And basically what all these people are subscribing to, and this word is strong, but it's absolutely accurate, a Marxist attitude, a Marxist situation. Go back, Karl Marx, the original author of this type of ideology in the late 1800s, early 1900s, who was at the forefront, of course, of the Russian Revolution. And the Marxist way is for government to be all-knowing and for the power brokers that make those decisions, allegedly for the good of the people, are the absolute authoritarian rulers of everything. This concept that we embrace of individual liberty and government of the people, by the people, for the people, is abhorrent to this philosophy. And these people believe there should be one ruling group in the world that basically makes the decisions and pulls the strings for everybody else in this kind of Marxist collective, everybody shoulder to the wheel. And in theory, hey, it sounds great. Kumbaya. Everybody is on the same page. Everybody is totally united. But in theory, it is a flawed concept, because you're still going to have the central group who considers themselves superior, who considers themselves more equipped to make decisions for you and your family and your future descendants than you and they are. And that is the danger of what we're kind of creeping into. And that is the indoctrination that has been going on now for 50 years to, or just short of 50 years, to get this generation of students, of young people coming up already with a bit of a radical situation. I think the old quote is absolutely right. If you're a young person and you're not a liberal, you have no heart. If you're older, a conservative, and not a conservative, you have no mind. And I think it's really telling that they've exploited that whole concept to the point now where you've got a very, and this is just appalling to say, and I think I've mentioned it maybe in the last couple of weeks, but you have a appalling lack of actual knowledge of the current generation of college students in this country who have been taught that America is evil, America is racist, America is misogynist, America is run by white supremacists. All of that false narrative is now being completely exacerbated by giving absolute, you know, ridiculously inaccurate information on the history of the world. One of the concepts of Marxism is to try and simplify the equation that everybody's always trying to kind of figure out from a historic standpoint into two simple categories: the concept of good against evil, and even more specifically, the concept of the oppressor against the oppressed. And it's by simplifying these into the most basic fundamental terms that the minds of young people who don't have the background and the foundation is a better word for it, don't have the foundation of a strong education to understand world history, American history, and how we've come to this place. My own sons, who are, you know, certainly major reflections of me in many, many ways. My sons are one's in his mid 30s, the other one is in his early 30s. But both those guys will tell you, if you get into a conversation, I don't have any interest in history. History is boring. History sucks. These are Kip Kiefer's sons, and they have been basically, left out of historical perspective. Now, they start to pick up more pieces of it as they get older, but they still will tell you that they have no real interest. And it just blows my mind that that is the attitude of this current generation of young people. And I still consider myself, my sons, young and transitioning now to a different stepping stool to a different status in life as they get older, but that's still their attitude. And it absolutely confounds me that any person does not want to know the events and the sequence of developments that lead us to this day of when we cannot possibly have an understanding of what's happening now if we don't have a perspective of what happened to get us to this point. I think in all of our own lives, we all spend a lot of time philosophizing and thinking about, you know, how did I arrive here? How did I reach these decisions in my life? How did I effectively become who I am? And it all is based on the building blocks of your experiences and your perceptions. And that's what history is to me. And it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing that people say they're disinterested in history and only living in the moment, because you can't understand the moment unless you know how we got here. So with all that preface and talking about why we're in this situation, why do we have college students on campuses yelling at the top of their lungs, you know, and putting up flags for the Palestinians. Of course, there is no nation of Palestine, which I guess is one of their beefs, but you're flying a flag that it's not even a country. It's people from a certain region, and that region includes the modern day land that is occupied, and that's their language again. This is the basis of their complaint, that Israel is occupying what should be Palestine. Well, that's an absolutely foolish position, because if you understand anything about history, this has always been a piece of land, modern day Israel, that has been occupied by a number of different persuasions, and has been dominated and part of the territorial holdings of every major empire and civilization in the history of man, going all the way back to the ancient Assyrians and the Greeks, Romans, Egyptians, all of them, later on the Ottoman Empire, so the Turks dominated for a long time, the Persian Empire, which is modern day Iran, who was a major power in terms of the world order for many centuries, and were finally defeated by Alexander the Great and the Greeks. If you go back and read the history of this region, it has been held by every major power in the history of the world, and I'll emphasize that again. This land, even modern day Israel, which people do not realize, has a over 30% Muslim population, because Israel, modern day Israel, this strip of land that it now is sitting on, has been a melting pot for all different kinds of nationalities and faiths. There has been a large population of Christians and Jews and Muslims for centuries. The root of a lot of the problems in Israel is the ancient city of Bethlehem, and more specifically, Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the cradle of all three of those religions. And it's always been contentious for all of these faiths to kind of muscle in for position and try and be in a controlling posture of Jerusalem. And again, it amazingly demonstrates how vital that is to so many people of so many different faiths. And Jerusalem, of course, is the primary focus on a lot of people's opinions on what's happening in modern day Israel. Modern day Israel was formed in 1948 after World War II. European Jews had to be resettled because their lives had been totally destroyed by the Nazi regime. 6 million Jews were put to death. Many more were completely ruined economically, socially. The world basically had to settle that problem. And what they settled on was letting the Hebrew Jewish people return to the land of their origin and create an Israeli state. And it was predominantly engineered by the British, but the Americans quickly got on board with that, and have become and immediately became the leading supporter of Israel. A lot of reason for that was self-interest for our country in a very unstable portion of the world that was Islamic and Muslim dominated. The United States saw Israel as an opportunity to have a lockstep ally and really just a source of stability in a very unstable region of the world. So that was the origins. To suggest now that Israel came and shoved the poor Palestinian people off of their land when the Muslim population there is still better than 30%. After the 1967 war with Egypt, which Israel won in 13 days, the resettlement of a lot of Palestinians to the Gaza area, which Israel had control of at that time, they basically surrendered all of that territory that is in modern day Gaza. And it has become the cornerstone for this Palestinian population. Now, the Palestinian population could not manage their own affairs. There was abject poverty and different problems socially and societally, a lot that don't need to be discussed here. But let me just tell you, some of it is appalling in terms of a lot of the beliefs and the ancient archaic views that really hardcore people that have been manipulated for centuries and centuries, they were really not in position to handle their own affairs. So it wasn't surprising that a highly radical, really hardcore group, which has now become known as Hamas, seized control of that country in the 1970s and has ruled ever since with pretty much the solid endorsement of the Palestinian people. So a recognized terrorist organization funded by the most fundamentalist, hardcore Islamic nation on earth, Iran, who has been America's constant enemy for many, many decades, since the hostage taking of way back in the 70s, a lot of things emanating out of the 70s here, you might be hearing a common theme, but Iran has been, without question, the leading sponsor of terrorism, the leading impetus and organizer of terrorist groups, including Hezbollah and Hamas, two Iranian-funded organizations that have seized control of a lot of territory with the approval, for the most part, of the citizenry. I mean, you keep hearing the poor Palestinian people and they are starving and they are being killed. And it's just this terrible blight and it's all the Israelis' fault. Well, Hamas gets no blame for that. When Hamas has built their infrastructure in civilian within the civilian population, they have no regard for the lives of the Palestinian civilians. They are on earth for one mission and one mission only, to wipe the Jewish people off the face of the earth. You hear kids on campuses chanting from the river to the sea, which basically means driving the Israelis off of their land and right into the sea to make them extinct, to take away their existence. They don't know what that means. They have not had that explained to them. Hamas is a terrorist organization, an evil organization, who have been responsible for abhorrent acts for 50 years, including the October 7th massacre, where over 1,400 innocent Jewish men, women, and children in their homes or at a music festival or walking down the street were just senselessly slaughtered. This is worse than any terrorist act in the history of our world, except for the Nazi Holocaust, where people were actually shipped to death camps and gassed to death. This is the most abhorrent example of that kind of activity in the history of mankind. And yet that shrugged off. You hear it. You don't hear these masked college students parading around when they're asked to explain their motivation and are confronted with the fact that this happened on October 7th, and these people took hostage hundreds of innocent men, women, and children, predominantly women and children, 100 of which is still being held, and we don't know if they're dead or alive. That all is secondary because they have been radicalized by these professors who are only in place in these elite universities because of the influx of millions, billions of dollars from all of these radical outside outfits who are determined to do one thing and one thing only: tear down the foundation of the United States of America. And what better place to start with tearing at that fabric than assailing the existence and calling for the elimination of one of our greatest rivals in the world, the state of Israel. You have to understand, the Marxists are in a position where one of the things they sell is You should not have religious affiliations. You should not have any kind of spiritual connection to a higher order. Your loyalty, your worship, your devotion should be to your leadership, your government. The Marxist philosophy is to take away the faith of people, and the Jewish people, through centuries of suffering, the most persecuted race of people in the history of the world. Now, all of a sudden, they are guilty of genocide. They are the oppressors. The Jewish people have been the most oppressed race and most oppressed religious group in the history of the world. And what better target to strike than the state of Israel as the precursor to completely tearing down all of the institutions in this country? And do not fool yourself. That is the objective. They want the resources. They want the power. They want the strength and might and all of those things and wealth of this great country, because without it, they cannot have true world new order and cannot have global domination. And that is what the group behind all of this, the group financing all of this campus unrest, and don't kid yourself again, this is taking lots of money and lots of infusion of radical people to come and organize these events. We saw it during the BLM riots in 2020, where quote, peaceful gatherings to protest, in that case, the unfortunate death of George Floyd, which the police officer that was found responsible is serving prison time. That's how our system works. The murder of George Floyd, if it was a murder, and a jury found that it was, is an awful event in our country, but is it any worse than a Saturday night downtown where 10, 12, 15 people in major cities are senselessly murdered every weekend? It all murders. Any taking of life is a terrible, terrible blight on our society. But these peaceful protests became volatile when all of a sudden pallets of bricks and Molotov cocktails just magically appeared on the streets. All of these other people that came in to incite riots, when Kyle Rittenhouser was accused of murder, two people that he encountered had, again, massive rap sheets and were criminals that were hired to come in and radicalize these, quote, peaceful these peaceful protests. This is what's happening, folks. And now what's really amazing, and this is what I really wanted to point out with all of that to kind of build the foundation, is for you to understand that what we're seeing is a very predictable situation with the whole leftist movement in this country, who's been building up for this grand, crescendo of radical change in our country, but it's blowing up in their face because they've overplayed their hand. When you have a supercharged vehicle that reaches too high, or some sort of submersible that goes and sinks too low, the same result takes place. The pressure builds and it explodes at its seams. And that's what we're seeing from the leftist movement in this country, because as I've predicted over the last few years, this is the kind of movement that you give it enough rope, it's going to hang itself, because the zealots at the controls are going to reach too high or sink too low, and they're going to do themselves in. And that's what we're seeing here, because all of this fragile, factional group of people that make up this leftist movement, and they have been gathering up the radical all-star team for many, many decades now. But the problem is, a lot of these groups do not really have a lot of commonality. They all stand for their individual situation, whether it's radical environmentalists or people that are selling this abomination of transgender being a normal situation, or you just pick a cause. you know, all of these groups don't really have a lot of commonality, but they're all under the same banner. And at some point it was going to implode. And the biggest one, the very biggest one, was the Democrat Party, which for many, many years was the party of the working man, the party of the common person. It is now completely run and financed by these multi-gazillionaires, these left liberal Marxist thinking people like the Rockefeller brothers, such as the heirs to the Hyatt hotel fortune, who are giving millions of dollars to these radical organizations and pumping tons of money into these universities to influence curriculum and hiring practices. And of course, George Soros, who has made billions of dollars exploiting the financial system and now pours money in absolute bundles to ensure that there's going to be chaos and upheaval in the country, that he is determined at 92 years old, and now his son is carrying on his work, to tear down, to restore this vision of a global order of peace and tranquility, with the proviso that people like that are maneuvering and engineering these events will be completely in charge and tell you what you can eat, what you can drink, what you can drive, where you can go, what you can do, and what you have to do for a living. That is the reality we're heading toward, folks. And if that's what you want for your children and your grandchildren and young people, if that's what you want for your future, then stay right on the line, because that's what you're going to get. This is the ultimate situation of this was just absolutely going to implode at some point. The other two major groups that you can look at, Jewish people have typically and historically voted almost straight Democrat since the beginnings of time, because as an oppressed people, they identified with the messaging, although it wasn't sincere, from the Democrat Party, that we are here for the people. We are here for the common man. And the Jewish faith has identified with that because of the difficult existence they've had for centuries. Well, now, all of a sudden, if you're a Jewish person, can you possibly think about voting for any Democrat candidate? That's why they're straddling the fence. Joe Biden won't even comment on the situations on our campuses, because he's going to alienate a big base of his voting bloc, either younger people or the Jewish voters that have supported that party for many, many years. It's put them in a terrible position, because these people cannot now no longer coexist under the same tent. They have already driven off the labor and union, the blue collar workers of the country, who for years stood by the Democrat Party, but then have been abandoned by them, because it's become quite clear to auto workers and miners and people that work with their hands and have been the backbone of this country, factory workers, for since the inception of our republic, that the Democrat Party not only doesn't have their back, what they're espousing is complete elimination of these people's livelihoods. Remember when Hillary Clinton told miners in Pennsylvania, well, you better get used to the idea, in my presidency, we are shutting down coal. We are not going to be mining for natural resources any longer. And but we were going to have great job training opportunities so you can get into some other professions. This is not what you tell people who have been generationally involved in certain avocations. And now all of a sudden, this group is going to tell them your way of life is no longer acceptable. This was a vehicle that was definitely destined for implosion, and it's happening right before our eyes. And the real irony is that they are basically handing on a silver platter with a pretty red bow the presidency to Republicans for the next foreseeable generations, just like happened in the late 60s when the radical movement went way over the top and alienated a lot of Americans who realized that these people are not taking us where we need to go. I can preach just as long about the downside of the Republican Party, which is also run by elite big government fat cats who are only concerned about their personal gain and could care less about you, me, and all the American citizens. The system is broken. It needs to be fixed, but it doesn't need to be fixed by tearing it completely down. And don't fool yourself. That's what this movement is trying to do. But in reaching for too much too fast and allowing this implosion to happen on our campuses with our young people who have not been educated and are not qualified to stand there and yell and think about this, and I'll wrap this up. At a speech this weekend, a college president was continuously shouted down by a very loud group of three or four young women in the first row. We are Hamas. We are Hamas. These are young American women of privilege at an Ivy League university yelling, we are Hamas. Now think about that. Hamas has been a terrorist organization designated throughout the world for decades. This is a group that is responsible for the killing of women, the raping of little girls on that horrific night just 5 or 6 months ago. And that's completely ignored. In fact, you ask some of these more radical young women, which is, again, appalling, and I'll tell you why in just a moment, of how do they respond to what happened on October 7th and the taking of hostages and the fact that women themselves are the ones being exploited. They'll tell you, oh, that didn't happen. That is propaganda. That did not occur. Although we've got documentaries and footage of the actual events, and it's absolutely disgusting. And if it doesn't turn your stomach and just fill you with rage to see the blatant killing and maiming and burning and beheading and rape of young women and girls and children and old people. This was just appalling beyond all descriptions. I'm uncomfortable even listing those things. So the bottom line is, we are Hamas. We are Hamas. We are terrorists. We are people, and we have demands. Well, if you're Hamas, you're a terrorist. And our country's policy until this administration has been and always has been and always should be, we do not negotiate with terrorists. If you are Hamas, you have no right to demand your ideas or your voices be heard. You forfeit your right as an American. You forfeit your right for First Amendment speech. If you are Hamas, if you are a terrorist, you are an enemy. I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is. Hamas is a terrorist organization. And for women to say, we are Hamas, this is a culture, this is a mindset, an ideology that women are inferior, that women should not even be educated, that women cannot go out in public, that women cannot have careers, that women are a second class, third class citizen that do not have a voice, do not have any rights. This is what the fundamentalist Iranian policy is. And there's no denying it. There's no refuting it. It's the way it is. And Hamas is funded by and ideologically driven by the most totalitarian, antiquated, ancient, caveman, Neanderthal movement in the world who regards women as just objects for procreation and not for their brains, not for their abilities, and certainly not for their dreams. And that's who you are declaring yourself affiliated with. Somebody needs to have an intervention with these young women and make them understand by yelling, we are Hamas, you are degrading yourself as a human being and supporting a movement that doesn't think you're even worth the breaths that you take to survive. I'm Kip Kiefer. I think those are things you need to know. I hope something we've talked about will give you some perspective. Form your own ideas. Don't listen to me. God forbid, don't listen to the news media, who is the town crier for all of this evil that's befalling us. And don't listen, unfortunately, to our greatest resource, our young people, except for the ones that are putting the American flag back up on campuses, that are chanting USA, that are pushing back. It gives me so much hope that the righteous minds of so many of our young people are going to step to the forefront and shut this thing down, tell people this is wrong, try to correct the misinformation that they have been spoon-fed, force-fed for many, many decades that is really coming to fruition right now. I will speak to you next week, hopefully on cheerier topics, but these are things that needed to be said. I only got to about a third of the amount of things that I wanted to talk about, but this is a good start. Kip Kiefer on Need to Know. God bless you all, and we will be with you again next week.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.